past 8, the full English Breakfast Show. The use of salt water in the treatment of COVID-19 is to be trialled by researchers in Edinburgh. Previous research has suggested the homemade remedy can help reduce symptoms of a common cold. It found people who gargled and cleared their nose with a salt water solution reported fewer coughs, less congestion, and seemed to recover quicker. Tastes horrible, though.
It does. They said this at the beginning, didn't they? I remember them. My kids were doing it.
OK. Edinburgh University scientists will investigate if the remedy can also help people with the new coronavirus. The study is now recruiting adults in Scotland with COVID-19 symptoms who are confirmed as having the virus. The original pilot study, known as the Edinburgh and Lothian's Viral Intervention Study, or ELVIS for short, boom boom, and recruited healthy adults within 2 days of them contracting a type of upper respiratory tract infection, commonly known as a cold. They were divided into two groups, with one group asked to gargle and rinse their nasal passages with a salt solution as they felt necessary. The other group dealt with the cold the way they normally would do. Drinking loads of whiskey, probably.
Yeah. Well, there is that. But yeah, it's always been good for a sore throat, isn't it? So I remember gargling with salt water, warm salt water.
We should have a word about coronavirus. We're seeing what's happening in the States, and it's just scary. And the spike in cases in northern Germany, where they've introduced local lockdowns, Spain getting quite a few more cases, Australia reporting more cases. And it's really important that we carry on the discipline, isn't it? You know, the hand washing, the hand sanitizer, the masks, and the social distancing.
No, very much so. I can't get over it. It just seems to have been kind of forgotten. I don't see many people doing the social distancing or the masks at the moment.
Well, so far, there hasn't been a spike of cases in France. There's been a few isolated clusters, but nothing really that dangerous. But so it just goes to show that, you know, if you mix the messages up and open too quickly, too fast, this is what happens. It just comes back.
Yeah, but it's difficult, isn't it? After being, you know, restrictions being in place, and then you get a bit of freedom, and then it's even like all the thing of, you know, people being isolated and everything we went through during the lockdown. And I just feel that all of that's kind of been forgotten and we're going back to normal.
Well, yeah, but it does depend on the R, and with the R being low enough in most areas in France for things to be reopened, that's quite a sensible way forward. The problem is when the R isn't low enough and things are opened up too quickly, which is happening in several states in America. They hadn't got a grip on the virus and just opened everything up again.
Mm. Well, and there's also
the UK as well, I have to say.
Yeah, and I mean, lots of young people, I think, who don't think they're going to be affected, and it's in that selfish thing of where you know, maybe they're not as affected, maybe, and hanging out all together isn't a problem, but it's other people that, as we said, are vulnerable. Yeah.
You know, even if young people aren't that badly affected, they can still contract the virus and pass on to somebody else who will be badly affected. So it's just a question, just trying to be really sensible. If you see a crowded beach, don't think, oh, I'll go and join them. Try and find a beach that isn't quite so crowded.
Well, it's also, I noticed on public transport, people aren't, you know, people are getting on the bus with a mask, and then when they get on the bus, they take the mask off.
Yeah, that's wrong. You should always wear a mask on public transports, and I still wear them when I'm in a shop, to be quite honest with you. I don't think wearing it in the open air is necessarily effective, but that's my personal opinion. You may think differently and feel safer wearing a mask wherever you go. But yes, just keep the hygiene. That's all we can advise. Hand washing, alcohol rub, and particularly touching surfaces in shops. You know, try not to touch your face at all afterwards before you can get some alcohol gel on it. And the shops are actually really good. There's hand sanitizer in every shop that I've been into recently. So
I noticed Kenny Dalglish having a problem whilst watching the match.
Yeah.
Did you know he had his face mask on? Well, he's actually had it, hasn't he? He's had COVID-19, and he obviously wanted to itch his nose, and he had his car keys in his hand, and he put them under his mask to scratch himself.
Yeah.
I mean, you have reactions. It's very difficult to train yourself otherwise. But
the other problem with the mask is that if you wear glasses like me, they fog up.
Yes.
And I was in the chemist in Monaco yesterday, and the lady in there was, you know, also wearing glasses and a mask. I said, how's the mask getting on? She said, oh, it's really hard with the glasses. I said, but if you breathe through your nose rather than your mouth, then you expel less air, so there's less chance of your glasses fogging up than if you breathe through your mouth. And she didn't know that. And she said, oh, thank you very much. The Full English Breakfast Show. Here's this morning's comedy.
England, 1747.
Deliver.
Not on your...
Let that be a warning to you all. You move at your peril, for I have two pistols here. I know one of them isn't loaded anymore, but the other one is, so that's one of you dead for sure. Or just about for sure, anyway. It certainly wouldn't be worth your while risking it, because I'm a very good shot. I practice every day. Well, Not absolutely every day, but most days in the week. I expect I must practice at least 4 or 5 times a week, or more, really, but some weekends, like last weekend, there really wasn't the time, so that brings the average down a bit. I should say it's definitely a solid 4 days practice a week. At least, I mean, I reckon I could hit that tree over there, the one just behind that hillock, the little hillock, not the big one on the... You see the 3 trees over there? Well, the one furthest away on the right. The one like that with the leaves that are sort of regularly veined and the veins go right out with a sort of,
Serrated
edges.
A willow?
Yes.
That's nothing like a willow.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway. I can hit it 7 times out of 10. That's the point.
Never a willow.
Shut up. It's a holder, not a botany lesson. Now, no false moves, please. I want you to hand over all the lupins you've got.
Lupins?
Yes, lupins. Come on, come on.
What do you mean, lupins?
Don't try to play for time.
I'm not, but the flower lupin.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, we haven't got any lupins.
Honestly?
Look, my friends, I happen to know that this is the Lupin Express.
Damn.
Oh, here you are.
In a bunch, in a bunch.
Sorry.
Come on, Concord.
Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore, galloping through the sward. Dennis Moore, and his horse Concord. He steals from the rich and gives to the poor. Mr. Moore, Mr. Moore, Mr. Moore.
It's a hold-up, not a botany lesson.
Today's quiz. Can you tell me, on this day in 1984, Prince released which album?
Parade.
No.
Purple Rain.
Correct.
Okay, sorry.
Question number 2, to do with the theme of Feel Good Friday on love, money and sex. Can you tell me the lyrics...
So it's love, sex and money.
Love, sex and money. Can you tell me the lyrics to the following song? I want to kiss you in Paris. I want to hold your hand in Rome. I want to run naked in a rainstorm. Make love in a train cross country. You put
Madonna.
This in... Yeah, well done.
Justify My Love.
Correct. And finally, this American singer-songwriter, musician, record producer and composer released on this day in 1975, Can't Get Enough of Your What, Babe?
Cake, Babe.
No.
Barry White.
Can't Get Enough of Your Cake, Babe?
It's Barry White.
It was Barry White,
yes.
Correct.
Okay.
And Can't Get Enough of Your...
Cake, Babe. Love.
I made that one easy for you.
Being nice to me.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby.
Pass the cake.
But
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Very well, thank you.
Didn't feel tempted to join the crowds on Bournemouth Beach yesterday, then?
It was a beautiful day, actually, in the UK. Well, certainly in England yesterday. It was very pleasant, set to be 30 degrees today. So everyone is feeling a little bit lockdown happy and demob happy and getting out and enjoying themselves.
What's a lovely day to catch coronavirus, yes.
This is very true, isn't it? And we saw that, of course, reflect in equity market performance yesterday. Resurgence in virus cases around the world led to concerns about the pace of the economic recovery, which may force policymakers to slow or reverse the pace of businesses reopening. And that, of course, hit equity markets high, where we saw some large falls. Alongside that, of course, the International Monetary Fund downgraded its outlook for the global economy, projecting a significant and deeper recession and a slower recovery than anticipated just 2 months ago. Now we expect global GDP to shrink 4.9% during the course of this year. That's more than the 3% predicted back in April. For 2021, they're still forecasting a rebound. The fund sees growth of 5.4%, down from 5.8% in April. The IMF downgrade, I think, reflects the larger than anticipated supply shock during the lockdown, in addition to the continued hit to demand from social distancing and other safety measures. For nations, they said, struggling to control the virus spread, a longer lockdown will also take its toll on growth. And adding to the sentiment concerns yesterday, it's revealed the White House is weighing new tariffs on more than $3 billion worth of exports from Europe, imposing tariffs potentially on exports including olives, beer and trucks, as the EU debates whether to keep the doors shut to American travellers during the course of this summer. What does that mean for equity markets? Well, European shares fell 3% yesterday, S&P 500 was down 2.6%. That's the biggest falls that we've seen in more than 2 weeks. Opening calls looking less dramatic this morning. A little bit mixed, that has to be said. But we're currently calling the FTSE down 19 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 16 points. CAC Corona in Paris down 5 points.
Blimey, you were quickly into your stride this morning. Couldn't get a word in edgeways.
Dramatic falls, big falls. People need to know.
I think Robert Jenrick might have time to lie on the beach for quite a long time soon.
I think me commenting on the future employment prospects of a minister may infringe upon my own employment prospects, so I'll stay away from that one.
Not surprised. Okay, well, business confidence in Europe is up, but how long is that going to last?
Well, that's the point, isn't it? We know, of course, the lockdown took a dramatic toll on activity within the Eurozone, almost grounding to a halt. Reopening of economies has been boosting management teams' optimism, but the question is, of course, will it be sustained? But the numbers, the survey certainly suggests, at least in the short term, it's turned more positive. German business sentiment rose in June. The respected IFO index registered its strongest increase ever recorded. Companies' assessment of the current situation improved after 2 months of declines. In fact, there was a large increase in future expectations component. Also a notable pickup in business confidence in France, following on from the data that's indicated the slump in activity in France wasn't as bad as was first feared, and consumption is returning at a faster rate than expected. The French index for business confidence across all sectors surged 18 points to 78, sharpest increase on record. The measure of recent activity remained low, but optimism for the near future increase, though you should remember the measure still remains well below the long-term average of 100, and there's still a long way to go in terms of the lockdown.
And I keep hearing adverts on the radio saying, you know, you can own gold. Buy gold for as little as £40. You can own your own gold. Should we?
Yes. I'm not sure that's the most efficient mechanism of gaining exposure to gold. I haven't listened to it or seen that one particularly, so I wouldn't comment
gold,
on that.
Isn't it?
But something would tell me that there's probably better ways to gain exposure to gold. Gold has been a strong performer during the course of this year, heading towards the $1,800 an ounce mark over the course of the past couple of days. Remember, the all-time high for gold was set back in 2011, $1,923 an ounce. Gold is up around about 17% year-to-date. Precious metal, often cited as a safe haven asset, but has actually continued to rally despite the strong performance that we've seen in risk assets such as equity markets since the March lows. Driven by a range of factors, I think number one, concerns over the equity market's ability to maintain and sustain the rally that we've been seeing since over the course of the past couple of months, certainly against the backdrop of medical and economic uncertainty. Continue to see those large flows into exchange-traded funds as investors look to hedge those positions. As we said before, low negative interest rates reduces the opportunity cost of holding a zero-interest-bearing asset. Central banks' purchases continues. There was a survey done by the Gold Council, I think it was, talking to central banks, 20% of which that responded said they would increase their holdings during the course of this year. Central banks have been big purchasers of gold over the course of the past couple of years and very supportive of prices. You'll know that we've been positive on gold for some time. We think it's a really important diversification tool in the current environment. We increased our exposure within portfolios at the end of last year, and that's certainly been reflecting the performance for our clients.
So you're suggesting we should just rock up to Fort Knox and ask them if we can buy a few bars and, you know, put them in the back of the car and off you go?
Is there still gold at Fort Knox? I don't even know if there is. Maybe there is still gold.
There was
some
Goldfinger, wasn't there?
I don't think you get very far with that, but there are ways in which you can gain exposure. But holding physical gold can be an expensive process, so there's other electronic ways that you can focus on that.
I wonder how Gordon Brown's feeling this morning.
Well, he sold a lot of the nation's gold, didn't he? So maybe he'd be keeping quiet on that matter.
Right, we should keep quiet on a lot of things, but foreign exchanges, please.
You're very political this morning, aren't
you? I'm always very political.
This is true.
You know, I say it so you don't have to.
That's very nice of you. Pound against dollar coming in at 1.24. Euro dollar coming in at 1.12.5. You're going to get €1.10 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Talk to you tomorrow. Hank Potson, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lysa has the top stories across the Riviera.
A man has been hit by a tram in Nice. The accident occurred on Wednesday evening, shortly after 8 p.m. in the Saint-Roch district. The tram service was severely disrupted while emergency services intervened. The victim was taken to hospital, suffering from head injuries. In other news, according to figures from the Regional Health Agency, five people have died as a result of the coronavirus in the VAR and the Outmarra team in the last week. In its weekly report, the agency said that for several weeks, the indicators of circulation of the virus have been falling or have remained low in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region. However, the number of deaths increased slightly last week. There were four deaths in the Outmarra team and one in the VAR. There are currently 66 people in hospital with the virus in the Outmarra team and 106 in the VAR. Only one person is in intensive care in the Outmarra team and four in the VAR. Nationwide, the death toll stands at 29,663 deaths in France and 197,251 cases. The most affected countries are the United States, Brazil, the United Kingdom, Italy and France. In Monaco, one positive case of COVID-19 was reported on Wednesday. The number of cases in the principality now stands at 102. The total number of people who have recovered stands at 95, and there are no patients currently hospitalised in connection with the COVID-19 at the Princess Grace Hospital. Two people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre, which medically supports people with mild symptoms who are asked to self-isolate at home. France's health minister has announced salary increases for caregivers. 1 month after the launch of the Ségur de la Santé, Olivier Véran on Wednesday said that €6 billion is to be shared between hospitals and public nursing homes, as well as part of the private sector. The sum includes a general increase in the salaries of public service employees in hospitals and nursing homes, a re-evaluation of bonuses, as well as targeted increases in certain professions, which could be extended to the private sector. These measures will take effect from July the 1st. The French government plans to pay tribute to the caregivers on July the 14th, which is a national holiday in France, where the traditional military parade will be replaced by a ceremony on the Place de la Concorde. The mayor of Monaco has announced that the extension of terraces for restaurants in the principality, due to the social distancing measures, will be free of charge until health measures are lifted. The Town Hall of Monaco made the announcement on Tuesday, granting free extensions of terraces to catering establishments. Monaco follows in the footsteps of neighbouring towns, such as Cap d'Ail, Beausoleil and La Turbie, where mayors have adopted similar measures to ease pressure on commercial activity. As a precaution, 6 tonnes of mincemeat have been recalled by meat manufacturer Eleviva after metallic fragments were found in certain batches which had been marketed between June the 17th and 19th. The lots concerned were distributed in the Auchan, Carrefour, Cora, Casino, U and Lidl supermarkets. The possible fragments could measure 2 centimetres and would be no thicker than a hair. Disruption is expected in Montereau in the VAR today as an operation to remove 3 large chlorine containers from the area around the well reservoir gets underway. A 300-metre security area will be established and local buildings will be evacuated as a precautionary measure. Nearby roads will be closed to traffic. A special telephone helpline has been set up by the local council. For further information, go to 0494 504100. The heatwave is expected to continue over the next couple of days, with temperatures in some inland parts of the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region reaching 35 degrees today and tomorrow. According to Météo France, the temperatures are 2 to 4 degrees above the seasonal norm, but 2 to 3 degrees below last year's temperatures. A heatwave brigade will be roaming the streets of Nice to encourage people, especially the elderly, to hydrate, while water fountains and mist machines have been set up throughout the city. The rising temperatures have spurred fears the virus will again take hold as residents who have endured months of lockdown fail to respect social distancing measures. Britain has instructed residents that face masks are now the new normal in Europe and should be considered as essential as a toothbrush when packing for summer holidays. In France, face masks are compulsory on public transport, including the Eurostar, for anyone aged over 11. Anyone without a mask risks a fine of €135. Finally, Orly Airport in Paris is to reopen tomorrow after shutting down on March 31st due to the coronavirus pandemic. There'll be just a fraction of its normal flights operating. Around 25 destinations are to be served via 70 takeoffs and landings. Officials expect around 8,000 passengers to pass through Orly on Friday, less than 10% of the daily average of around 90,000. Increased traffic in July will depend on whether Algeria, Morocco and Tunisia reopen their borders.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Don't try and brush your teeth while wearing a face mask, though. I like the sound of this heatwave brigade. I think they should be going around in a refrigerated truck dishing out Mr. Whippies and cold beer, no?
Why not?
Be a good idea. Football, there were five games in the English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. Liverpool could be less than 24 hours away from their first English title in 30 years. They thrashed Crystal Palace 4-0. Trent Alexander-Arnold, who opened the scoring, said the side certainly stepped up after Sunday's goalless draw with Everton.
They felt good out there, I think a lot more fluent and a lot more rhythm than what we've seen on Sunday. But yeah, today we've come out, we've started fast, we've been really good from the start. Didn't really put a foot wrong in the whole game, so it'll go down as one of our best performances of the season, without a doubt. And especially after everything that's gone on, to come back to Anfield and put in a performance like that is something very special for us. And obviously I hope all the fans enjoyed watching it as well.
Mo Salah, Fabinho and Sadio Mane were also on the score sheet. If Manchester City fail to beat Chelsea on Thursday, Liverpool will be crowned champions. Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says he's disappointed his side didn't score more goals after the Red Devils beat Sheffield United 3-0 at Old Trafford, with Anthony Martial scoring a hat-trick. Solskjaer's team are now just 2 points behind fourth place Chelsea.
And very pleased with the clean sheet, attitude of everyone. We should have scored more goals, so we do create so many chances and opportunities to create chances. So a part of me is a bit disappointed we didn't score more, but of course, hat-trick from Anthony, we're back on the winning trail.
Wolverhampton Wanderers are level on points with United after a 1-0 win over Bournemouth. Raul Jimenez the scorer, his 15th Premier League goal of the season. Ahmed Al-Mohammadi's late header rescued a point for Aston Villa at Newcastle, but it wasn't enough to lift them out of the bottom three. Dwight Gale had given Newcastle the lead midway through the second half. And Norwich suffered their third straight Premier League defeat as they lost to Everton and are running out of time to prevent an immediate return to the Championship. They're now 6 points adrift at the bottom of the table. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
So, three more games tonight. Burnley play Watford.
I'll go for Watford.
Yeah, I'm going for Watford as well, funnily enough. Southampton against Arsenal.
Arsenal.
So I'll take Southampton there. Don't Arsenal know what's going on at the moment. And Chelsea against Manchester City. Yes,
no,
we all know you want
Chelsea
to win.
Chelsea.
I'm not sure.
You probably won't win deliberately.
I have nothing to do with it personally. I just don't know.
What about last night? Hey, did you see any of the goals last night?
I was in bed. All right, well, I'll just go along with you just to keep you happy, Chelsea.
Thank you.
Let's have a look at the bottom of the table, because that's where all the interesting stuff is, really. No, I mean, well, everyone knows that Liverpool, I'm just being objective, Sarah. Norwich, 21 points. It really looks like they are going down, doesn't it? Aston Villa, 27. Bournemouth, 27. West Ham, 27. Watford, 28. Well, if Watford win tonight, they'll put a bit of a gap between them and the rest of them down there. So it's really West Ham, Bournemouth and Villa who are in serious trouble of going down. Brighton 33, then after that Southampton 37. So you'd think that anyone above Southampton is safe at the moment. Now, Formula One, McLaren is set to secure a loan from a Bahraini investment bank to solve the firm's cash flow problems. The loan will come from the National Bank of Bahrain, which is part-owned by the Gulf States Sovereign Investment Fund, which is the majority shareholder in the McLaren Group. The move does not preclude McLaren continuing with legal action, which is launched against a group of creditors. Cricket, the former England captain Claire Connor has been named as the first female president of the MCC in its 233-year history. The 43-year-old will take up a new role in October. The MCC currently has 18,000 members, but only welcomed its first female full member in 2018, 20 years after a vote to allow women to join. Have you put your name down?
No,
Oh, come on, you'd look good in these sort of...
yeah, right, OK.
The egg and bacon
yeah,
blazer.
Yeah,
you would. And in golf, the PGA Tour's Travellers Championship will go ahead despite three individuals testing positive for coronavirus. Cameron Champ, along with caddies of Graham McDowell and Brooks Koepka, have all contracted the virus and have withdrawn from the event in Cromwell, Connecticut. The PGA Tour Commissioner says that the news acts as a stark warning to comply with safety measures. There have been seven positive tests since the tour resumed. Some players have been seen flouting social distancing rules, and new safety measures are to be introduced.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the VAR, the general situation is high pressure, 1,018 millibars over the region. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,018 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, clear skies, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable or easterly, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,018 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, clear skies, force 3 to 5 easterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Sleep better last night?
A little bit better, yeah.
I did. Fan assisted, though.
Ah, you see.
I had to get the fan out. But it's, I mean, I think it's just normal hot now. I don't think really is a heat wave, is it? Clear skies in coastal areas, scattered showers inland again this afternoon, light variable winds, temperatures 28 degrees on the coast. I found it quite pleasant yesterday afternoon, actually. It was just my upper limits of feeling pleasant. Up to 31 degrees inland, that's not so pleasant. Overnight lows 20 degrees on the coast, 16 degrees inland with clear skies. Friday and the start of the weekend, mainly fine, highs of 26 to 30 degrees. Finally.
That will do. A new study has revealed that 8 in 10 Brits feel they say they settled for their partners as they didn't want to be left on the shelf. More than 8 in 10 Brits have settled for second best when it comes to their job, salary and even their partner. A study found that a guess that will do approach has been adopted because they either haven't been able to afford better or get what they really want. 41% of adults have found themselves in a relationship with someone they didn't think was the one, with 12% doing so because they didn't want to be left on the shelf, and 16% worrying they'd never find love. 7 in 10 adults have at some point accepted a salary which was far from ideal, with a fifth feeling there wasn't room for negotiation, and one quarter hoping a pay rise might happen in the future. Of those polled, 66% have also accepted a job they didn't want, largely because they couldn't find anything better. And the study also found a house, friendships and a car are among the other life-changing things which adults have settled for when they really didn't want to. Almost two-thirds of adults have ended up moving into a house which wasn't their dream home, with money being the main factor, and 43% have found themselves in unhealthy friendships, with confidence being said to be one of the main reasons for not pursuing alternative relationships.
Oh dear.
There you go.
Mm.